Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize. All things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
What's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneckinize Radio. Appreciate you joining along. Give us a call, 515-602-9731. Check out our YouTube channel. Go ahead and search YouTube. Redneckinize is the name of the YouTube channel. We got more than 1,000 subscribers over there, and we appreciate everybody doing that for us and having a lot of fun doing that. And we'll be back doing that live. I think I might do a live here at the end of this week just to make sure everybody understands everything on there. But, appreciate everybody joining along, and like I said, give us a call. We got one more week to go. This is it. Last show will be Friday. What is that? What's today? Today's the 21st, so 22nd, so 24th. And yeah. So appreciate the sponsors been helping us out here. Load to Ride Transportation. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. Those are a great trucking outfit out of Denver, Colorado. They got good trucks. They got lots of freight. Drop dead busy. In fact, I think they've partnered up with several other trucking companies. So it's 720-277-0030. You can give them a call. Check them out. That's Load to Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com. Or you can give them a call at 720-277-0030. And we appreciate everybody doing that for us. And there was a thing in the news that I wanted to talk about today. And it was pretty exciting. So yeah, I'm just looking for, you know what, we'll do that one. But actually, you know what? We'll get this one fired up. So yeah, I just decided, you know what? I'm gonna play some special music for this news article. So here, do this. We'll get back to us. Give us a call, 515-602-9731. And And what I'll do is I'll get my little details out of this article here, and then we'll come right back. So check us out. Like I said, give us a call, 515-602-9731. Redneck and Eyes Radio Live. We'll see you in a second.
Money for nothing. Chicks for free. money for nothing. Chicks for free. Money, money, money for nothing. Chicks for free. Money for nothing. Chicks for free.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Cash, cold, that's what I need.
Everybody, hey, this is Ed with Renek and I's Radio. Appreciate you joining us. Give us a call, 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one. And I'm telling you, man, we're talking about the money today because it's big, big money. If you are a driver for U.S. Express and they have a stock purchase program, I'm sure they do, and you probably own stock in U.S. Express, then you just made money today because U.S. Express just got bought out by Swift, Knight Swift, technically. And the stock closed yesterday at $1.50. And today got announced that you are being bought out at $6.15 per share. So if you owned any stock, you'd made what? 600%? Is that how it works? I mean, just think of it as this. If the stock was worth $1.50, now it's worth $6.15. You're getting it bought by Swift for $6.15. And so that means that if you had $100 worth of stock, now you have over $600 worth of stock. If you had $1,000 worth of stock, now you have $6,000. You know, if you had, just think of it, if you had $200,000 in stock in U.S. Express, you've got over $1 million now. You'll have $1.2 million in that case. So thing, the two differences as the numbers get bigger, the actual profit gets bigger. So it got done, and you know, this is going down. Knight Swift is already the largest trucking company in the United States, truckload carrier, and just bought out U.S. Express. I was looking it up here, and what did I do here? I found there is a list of largest trucking companies, truckload carriers in the United States, and it says that it's Knight Swift Transportation at 3.2 million. And I'm thinking that's, and they say it's estimated, that's 3.2 million in revenue. It might be billion. Yeah, probably because it's, yeah, the way they got it written. And then J.B. Hunt is just under them at 3.1 billion. Landstar is 2.3 billion. Schneider at 2 billion. Werner at 2. It's 1.9. TFI International is 1.6 billion. U.S. Express was the seventh largest trucking company at $1.5 billion. And I guess they had some financial problems. And the total buyout of the company is at $800 million. So he's getting it, what did we say, $1.5 billion. So not necessarily half, just a little bit more than half, but it's technically at $6.15 a share is what it's coming down to be, and that's the whole thing right there. So yeah, so Knight Swift buying out, and the article from Freightways.com. There's been several articles that broke this morning, the article, the headline for Freightwaves.com is U.S. Express multi-year struggle ends with acquisition by Knight Swift. U.S. Express shareholders ultimately see a return off recent lows. Knight Swift sees significant opportunity to increase operating ratio in the next few years. Well, it says KNX. I guess that's Knight Swift, KNX. It says the multi-year decline in the financial fortunes of truckload carrier U.S. Express is coming to an end, with the announcement Tuesday that it is being bought by Knight Swift at a significant premium to the company's closing stock price Monday. It says, in one of the largest truckload carrier sales in history, Knight Swift said it's paying $808 million for U.S. Express. The price is $6.15 per share. U.S. Express stock price closed Monday at $1.50. In the joint prepared news release announcing the deal, the company's said U.S. Express will add about $2.2 billion in total revenue to Knight Swift, with about $1.8 billion of that being in truckload. It says it will also add 7,200 tractors and 14,400 trailers to Knight Swift. Following the deal, Knight Swift said its consolidated revenue run rate, which would be close to $10 billion, with the truckload fleet will be at 25,000 tractors and 93,000 trailers. Knight Swift reported a full year 2022 revenue of $7.42 billion, including fuel surcharge revenue. U.S. Express revenue including fuel at 2022 was 2.16. So this one article here, I mean, I don't even know how old this is, but it's off. So, and that's Transport Topics is who I got that from. But Chattanooga, Tennessee headquartered U.S. Express will continue to operate under the name as a division inside the company, according to the prepared statement released by the two companies. And I guess what one of the local articles from Chattanooga said that their U.S. Express has got like a large, I guess they might even have some LTL stuff going on there in the eastern Tennessee area. So they're going to, U.S. Express will operate in that area as its own name. And what we've seen it all before, that you'll still, for the next probably 5 years, you'll see U.S. Express trailers going up and down the highway until they get all factored out. When Swift bought out other companies, you know, you were seeing MS Carrier trailers being hauled by Swift trucks. I don't even think, you know what, I have not yet seen a truck that says Knight Swift. They all either say Swift or they say Knight, you know, so they all operate under their own thing. And I'll tell you what, and anybody out there listening can agree with me, I know why, exactly why. None of them operate, they all don't operate under the same name. This Knight Swift pretty much is becoming a holding company, and all the trucking companies are operating under this one under one umbrella, because you're talking about a monopoly right now. You're talking about Knight Swift, clearly the largest truckload carrier in the country, and now ain't nobody gonna stop them. They're clearly gonna be more. I mean, you're gonna start to see. To me, you're gonna have to start seeing regulators come in and say, listen here, you might be too big for your britches, and that's what might happen. You know, I don't know anybody out there work for Swift right now. If you're making good money, then great. Chances are you're not, because these large trucking companies, that's what they're doing is they're buying up all the freight. And guess what? Ain't nobody else going to be able to do anything now. Whatever you do, you're going to have to do what they say, and you're going to have to get paid what they get paid, or the pay is what they pay, and they set the rate. You know, that's how they do it. So, you know, you might see some customers leave out. You know, I mean, I bet you there's a lot of customers that U.S. Express had that were absolutely avoiding Knight Swift all they could. And now they're going to say, you know what, we got to go shopping for another carrier, because I ain't going to work for those assholes. I mean, I've been there, done that. I've seen it. So, it says U.S. Express in the last few years has struggled even in the midst of the freight market that picked up steam rapidly after the first ugly months of the pandemic in 2020. It didn't slow down for 2 years. While many other truckload carriers were reporting record earnings, U.S. Express struggled to keep the operating ratio from rising over the red ink dividing line of 100%. With the notable, what is notable about the recent performance of U.S. Express is not that has lagged its peers, but had done that for several years. But the company's performance has dropped consistently over the past few years, even as most of 2021 and the first half of 2022, it being described as one of the greatest trucking market and the greatest trucking markets ever. It says it spent more than 2 years investing in Variant, its truckload carrier within the truckload carrier. Variant was to be a technology-driven app-based system and providing the most efficient routing and load matching, as well as creating a wage structure that is hoped would keep turnover, always a problem in U.S. Express, more moderate. U.S. Express had been breaking out data on the performance of Variant in the last figures provided in the 2022 second quarter. Turnover at Variant, which was supposed to be reduced due to the unique pay structure, was 150% in the second quarter of the year, deteriorating by 2 percentage points in the first quarter. In the first quarter of 21, that turnover was less than 60 at Variant, but it worsened from there. It says the bottom line is at the end of Variant, there's no significant metrics that signaled the company within the company was doing any better than the rest of U.S. Express. It might have been doing worse. It was at a point the CEO Eric Fuller said U.S. Express was returning to blocking and tracking and skinnying down Variant. Says in January 21, Morgan Stanley Transport Analysis put out a report calling U.S. Express the most endocentric story in trucking, citing that Variant experience. He said that the multi-year digital transformation, unlike anything the industry has ever seen. Shanker declared that U.S. Express was off to a strong start. See, I mean, this is what it is. Okay, so here you got a market analyst by Morgan Stanley. He's supposed to be a trucking market analyst from Morgan Stanley. And when U.S. Express first started their Variant thing and all that, he goes, oh, this is going to be good. This is good. This is good. And then another year and a half, turnover's at 150%. Come on, people. Why are we listening to these idiots? Why are you, Freightways, I mean, that's pretty much what Freightways does, is that they're all about the data, market, and all that, you know. But you know what I don't see? I don't see Freightways actually talking to the people, okay? You know, and that's what they do, you know. And you know what? That's what Kevin Rutherford did too. You know, we always thought, hey, you know, Kevin Rutherford, he does all the research. He does research. He studies and all that. What Kevin Rutherford understood a little bit of, maybe, I don't know, he always tried to say, hey, listen, I know you're out there in the trucking company and you see different things going on, but this is the data. And overall, what you get is that the data don't always match what the people are feeling, what the people are thinking. Okay, it just doesn't happen that way. And it's an anomaly in the trucking industry that just the data don't get it. It don't support what the people feel. And that's the bottom line of what I feel about that. So there you have it. Big deal about U.S. Express. I mean, if you're a truck driver that's been at U.S. Express for 10 years and you got a stock purchase plan, retirement account going in there, and I'm sure that it's probably where you get so much in stock, you know, every week or month or whatever, and it probably wasn't doing very well. Well, now you just made bank. And I mean, if you had 10,000, guess what? Now you got 60,000, you know? So, and nothing's really going to change for you, what it seems here. There. So there you go. I mean, it's the name of the game right there. I remember, and if you're out there listening and you're at U.S. Express and you're really pissed because you're like, hey, I don't like Swift. I work for U.S. Express because I don't like Swift. Okay, and you're thinking about quitting, I'll definitely recommend second-guessing that, okay? Because I remember I was at Swift when Swift merged with MS Carrier. Drivers quit. They parked their trucks, and they left, okay? I don't know if you guys remember, at that time, MS Carrier had Sentry classes, you know? I mean, Swift was still running around with FLDs. You know, and MS Carriers was one of the larger companies that had all had Sentry classes, which were technically nicer trucks than the FLDs. Nowadays, we look back now and say, no, that's not true. But back then, the nicer truck, power windows and the nice, you know, aerodynamics and the interior was better with the cabinets and all that stuff. And they just parked them. And remember, they had those like logo, like badges on the side of the trucks that had the horse, the MS Carrier horse and all that. Drivers were stealing those. They were taking them off the truck and quitting. And they hated it. And an MS Carrier had uniforms where they were really nice. They looked like Walmart drivers, a lot of the guys. You know, they had MS Carrier on the shirt, stitched with their name and everything. And they looked like those Walmart guys wearing those shirts, you know. And they just quit. They walked off. And then about 6 months later, when they found out that all the trucking companies were like Swift, they wanted to come back because they wanted to work for, you know, the guy. And that's what I learned then, because I was just starting out in the office then. What I learned is it doesn't really matter who you work for as far as the company goes, okay? It's the people you work for. If you work for somebody, if you are working at a company, if you're working at a company and you really like your dispatcher, the people you work with inside the office, you really like people. Those people are good people, okay? That's what matters the most, because that's what's going to make you the happiest along the run there, okay? I mean, if you can make twice as much more money working someplace else, then that's a figure you're going to have to calculate in. But I guarantee you, what's going to make you happier at the end of the day is whoever you got to talk to day in, day out to get the job done. Those people on the other end of the phone, the ones that are sending you all the information on the computer, those are the people. That's what matters. Okay. That's what's going to make you feel better. And that's just how it is. So before you quit, just think about that, because that's what happened when MS Carrier merged with Swift. Drivers quit that was working for MS Carrier. They come back, and they came back because they missed the people they were working for. They missed those people. And you saw a lot of them turn it around and make, you know, they were happy, you know, because that's what they wanted the most. They wanted somebody to talk to that they could talk to. And that was the biggest thing. So, you know, at first, like I said, they didn't like it. So in protest, and they thought that there was going to be a lot of drivers. But you know what? Swift didn't care. You know why Swift didn't care? Because Swift had, at where I worked in Dallas, they had over 100 people coming through there getting orientation every week. 100 people a week. So when you have empty trucks like that, guess what? You know, because when I took over the truck assignment deal 2 years later, okay, those 100 people, okay, 60 or 70 of them were getting sent home because we didn't have trucks. So when there's trucks sitting and you can get that driver in a truck right after orientation in those big mega carriers, that's a big deal. That's a very big deal, okay? So that's what's going to happen in this deal here. You're going to have drivers quit, and they're going to say, we'll show them. They don't care, okay? They don't care. We know it. Everybody knows it. Think about it. Knight Swift, J.B. Hunt, all of them, it's a puppy mill of truck drivers, okay? They just got them in there. They're churning them out, okay? Recruiters probably make way more money than I do right now because all they do is they travel. They go to these trucking schools. They go to the different colleges that have truck driving schools. You know, I mean, I went to the truck show there in Houston. There were like maybe 9 or 10 trucking schools in the area, and that was just in, that was not even Houston. That's it's scattered around. And I talked to a couple of them, and they said that not even half of them that were in the area were there. Because where he was, the guy was like out of Cleveland, Texas, which is about maybe, an hour out of Houston, north of Houston. And he said there's four in that city alone, and he's the only one there. The other three didn't even show up to the truck show. And so yeah, there's trucking schools all over the place. And the ones there, when I was there, the funny thing was is there was a couple of schools there, and they had suits and ties on, and there was like 8 or 9 people working the booth. And you know, they were passing out free stuff, and they were crowded because they had tons and tons of people signing up and everything like that. And the guy over there at Walmart, he was like, those people over there, I feel sorry for those people because they're not going to get hired because that school's crap. He goes, every student that comes out of that school don't know what the hell they're doing. And I'm like, you know, but they don't care. You know, I said, well, Walmart might care. I said, you know, other companies, smaller companies might care, but I said, those guys over there, Swift and J.B. Hunt, they don't care, you know, because they'll bring you in and they'll just send you out with a trainer. And then if you fail with the trainer, they'll send you out with another trainer. And then if you fail with that trainer, they'll send you out with another trainer. They don't care. So think about it before the quitting thing. Think about it because, you know, and nothing's going to change that, all right? I mean, the reason why they can keep the wages low is because you quit. And they'll just put a brand new guy in there. They don't know what the hell's going on. And that's the best thing you can hope for, you know. So tell me what you think. 515-602-9731. That's how you do it right there. And, I mean, that is a big deal. Like I said, making that money. And, come on, there we go. And that's what it's all about is money, bottom line, you know. But when you don't have any – when you can't make a lot of money – next thing is working with the people that don't want to make you pull your hair out, you know. So that's it. You know, if you're making a lot of money, you know, I tell everybody that's my deal. I really don't like the way the company I work for does a lot of things, but guess what? I make a lot of money. So I just kind of got, you know, the boss tells me every day or at least once a week, don't let it bother you so bad. So yeah, just don't let it bother you so bad. You know, and it's like, well, yeah, I guess you're right. You know, because, I mean, the money's good. So that's all it is to it. So like I said, tell me what you think. 515-602-9731. And appreciate all of our great sponsors. A great sponsor I'd like to mention is DPF Regeneration. Check them out at dpfregeneration.com. That's the guys that sells all the particulate filters and everything. It's 800-634-3010. DPF Regeneration at dpfregeneration.com. And appreciate all your support. So let's go. I think... I knew a couple people called in. What's going on, my friend?
What's going on, Ed?
Getting it done.
I hear you. I'm on the way out to the truck right now. I was in there just grabbing a bite to eat. I'll be here in the truck in a minute. It's bad. 60 degrees, and everybody's got to leave their trucks running, but they want to bitch about fuel prices. Unbelievable.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But that, yeah, that deal was, but that deal was flipped tonight and, you know, buying out U.S. Express. Hey, people better get used to it because there's going to be a lot more of that coming down the pike.
I agree with you. You know, I mean, you know, I would have thought that one of the big deals would have been regulators would have been coming after them now. But it doesn't seem like it's a big deal to the federal government about the monopoly rule. They don't really care.
Yeah, I don't agree with it. I don't think it's right. But, you know, the government's got so much problems right now, that's the last thing that they have to worry about is that, you know?
Well, the philosophy of it is it's the customers that they care about the most. So really, that's the biggest problem. Because the one judge came down the pipe that Walmart, you know, they were going to try to break up Walmart. Well, they said, well, Walmart, as long as they're providing a good product and service to the customer, then it doesn't matter if they own everything. And so that's the attitude of most regulators now. It's that, okay, so are they taking care of the customers? And really what it boils down to is that it's the employees that are paying the price.
Well, the employee, well, yeah, the customers are paying too. I mean, when you think about it, you know, monopolizing is monopolizing in anything. I don't care what it is, you know, where it's trucking companies, it's Walmart. I mean, look how many businesses that Walmart put out of business. I mean, it's crazy. You know, Kmart, Gold Circle, I mean, theirs. The list goes on and on and on. I mean, it's crazy. But
right.
With this,
I mean,
trucking, this trucking, the way trucking is, they do that every time there is a big problem like this, which I don't understand. It irks me because these trucking companies can't afford to pay a driver a decent wage. I mean, they pay them what they feel is a decent wage. But, you know, if these drivers are struggling out there, I mean, if they can go out and spend, you know, billions of dollars, you know, or millions of dollars to buy another company out, why can't they be happy with what they got and take some of that profit that they got and pay their drivers a little bit more and they wouldn't have the turnover that they got?
Right.
But they keep wanting to say, oh, we need drivers, our turnover, they keep quitting. Well, yeah. But if you paid that driver good, he wouldn't leave. He'd never leave you.
Right. Well,
but
they ain't got
the money to pay the driver, but they can go out and buy other trucking companies and throw money around like it's free. I don't get it.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing too, is finding drivers. If they're trying to, the being a truck driver to me is not, you can't just take somebody out of the crowd and say, okay, I'm going to teach you how to be a truck driver,
no,
and you're going to be a good truck driver. You can't
right.
do that. It's a lifestyle.
No.
It is a choice
right.
of a lifestyle that takes a special kind of person to be out there day in, day out. And you know, you get it. I mean, just like, you know, we both agree, you know, the longer I've been doing it, the more I don't want to be out there.
Right, the less I want to do it.
Exactly. So we know it's hard. It's hard on everybody. It's a hard life. And so to me, it's like, you know, years and years ago when over the road trucking was necessary because you didn't have regional stuff. It was more long haul than anything.
Right.
Then it was paying really good. And nowadays
right.
they just, you know, they do the shuttle stuff and they put it on the rail. And next thing you know, all the drivers are doing they say they're over the road, but all they're doing is 300-400 mile trips a day.
Right.
You know, so yeah. And basically what they like is they like that guy in that truck and they say, just go where we tell you to go. You know,
yeah, 600 miles, you know, years ago, 600 miles, that was a half a day. What did we do about the other half?
Exactly.
You know? I mean, we did that in a half a day. You know, it wasn't nothing to do 1,000, 1,100, 1,200 mile a day too long ago that I did that. But yeah, you don't want to do that. You know, I mean, but, when, you know, it don't make any sense. They don't – what I'm saying, the drivers are not getting paid what they should be getting paid. Now, I know some of them out here ain't worth what they're getting right now, let alone anymore.
Right.
All right, but when you get a good driver, when you got a good driver, you vet him, you check him out. You know, when he comes into your company, clean driving record, clean clean MBR, clean CSA, clean, ain't got nothing on him. You cherish that driver. You take care of that driver, and you pay him damn good because he's going to stay with you as long as he gets treated good and he gets paid well. He's going to – but no, you can come in there with a sketchy record. You know, you're one ticket away from losing your license, and you get paid the same amount that guy does right there that's got a perfect picture, perfect driving record.
That's exactly true. That's exactly what I've been saying about this whole thing. You know, everybody talks about equal pay, you know, even when you got men, women,
right,
equal pay. I said, well, in truck driving, everybody gets paid the same. So I don't know what you guys are crying about. You know,
right.
And it's a pain in the ass.
But you do that, and then but they don't, you know, and then they want them to stay out here, you know, 2 weeks minimum, 2 weeks at a time, two to three
mm-hmm.
weeks, and then they can go home and do a 34-hour restart at home. And then they're back out on the road again. What the hell is 34 hours at home? Most of these guys, if they're out there and they're running hard, they'll sleep 34 hours.
Well, a lot of the trucking companies now are like, if you're gonna take, like, let's say you get a 34 hour restart. If you're not coming back, if you say, okay, I need more than 34 hours, I need at least 2 days or 3 days, they'll say, turn the truck in, clean all your stuff out,
yeah.
And then when you come back, we'll give you another truck. And that's, I mean,
right.
you're telling the guy to stay out there on the road, over the road, 2 weeks. I mean, he's living in that thing. He's living in that truck.
Right.
And then you're telling him, well, if you're going to take too much time off, you need to clean that truck out. You know.
And I'd clean it out. I clean
yep.
it out and tell them, Harry, here you go. No, I don't need it. I won't need it when I come back. You just go ahead and move
exactly.
it on.
Exactly. Because especially when that's another extreme is that you got those other drivers that are getting paid same as that good driver. That good driver's got it. When he got that truck, he took care of it. He cleaned it up. He made sure everything was working on it. And then next thing you know, you're going to tell him he's got to give it up. And you're going to give it to another. You're going to give it to that worthless driver, and that worthless driver is going to rag it out. He's not going to check the fluids.
Right.
He's not going to check the oil. He's not going to take care of stuff. And next thing
right.
you know, that truck worth nothing. You know. And then when
that's
you
right.
do get hired on to another place, and you're a good, let's say you're trying to be a good driver, you're new, and you're like, hey man, this truck sucks. Can I get a better truck? And that's all we got. So you run it, and then when the new truck comes available, the guy says, hey man, look, let me hook you up. Here's a newer truck. Okay, got a newer truck. Oh, now, hey, can I get a couple of days off? Oh no, you got to turn that truck in. Now
yeah.
you're back to square one with a crappy truck. So, yeah, I mean, we've been there.
Yep.
We've done it. We've seen it. Don't tell us. Don't
yep.
tell us ain't the way it goes.
right.
You know? I mean, that's one of the main reasons.
I can honestly say I've never had that done to me. I know the company, there's a couple guys. I never drove for any big carriers. Never have. 38 years that I've been driving, my whole career, I have never drove for a big mega carrier or a big carrier. It's always been smaller companies, owner-operator. Mostly all my career, I drove for, you know, owner-operators that might have been leased to a smaller company or whatever. But I never, as far as, you know, driving for like J.B. Hunt, Snyder, Warner, you know, somebody like that, even as, and no, no, that wouldn't work. You know me, Ed, that wouldn't work.
Right.
You know, so I'm too, you know, I know. I'm not going to, I chose to drive a truck to make a living. I bought a house to live in. See, there's a difference there. I'm not going to live in a truck. What's the sense of owning a home or having a family or a home or whatever if you're going to live in a truck? To me, there's no sense. There's none in that. And it's like I told Robbie and I was talking the other day, and Donnie too. I told him, I said, you know, if you can't make a living out here with a truck, with your own truck, especially now that both of them got their own trucks, I said, if you can't make a decent living Monday to Friday and go home on the weekends, then you might as well just park the damn thing, sell it, whatever, get out of it, and do something else. Because you go out there and you run Monday to Friday and you get out, say they're living in Ohio, me and Donnie, but, you know, say we live up here like where I'm at. Now, I get down in Texas on Friday. I unload. Ain't nothing down there to loading on Friday. What the hell are you going to do? Half the places don't work Saturday. They don't work Sunday. They don't ship and receive on Saturday and Sunday anymore. They go home with their families. So you're sitting there in a truck stop, looking out the window, you're eating, you're burning fuel, you're spending money out there that you're not making. All right, so now Monday comes, well, then you got all these trucks there, everybody's bucking for a load. So now you might spend, like Robbie, I don't know if he's listening or not, but he just come off of 10 days, he said. 10 days sitting trying to find a load. He finally loaded today going to Dallas out of Iowa, Moline, whatever.
Yeah, he's right here. There he is.
Yeah.
He ain't telling no fit. He ain't bullshitting the bullshitter right now. That is true. I sat for 10 days trying to find me work to do that was worth me hauling. Everything else has been so bad down in the tubes. For the trailer that I have, I might as well go get a drive-in because that's what the rates are for a specialized low-boy trailer right now. Yeah,
you know what? Any monkey can drive a drive-in down the road. They can take anybody and put them in a drive-in, put the shit in there, close the doors, and say, take this over here. I'm sorry if it steps on toes, but I've been on both sides of the fence. I mean, I pulled flatbed, I pulled oversized, I've all drive-in, I've done reefer, I've done tanker, and I'm telling you right now, the drive-in, in my opinion, and even though I've got that brand new one sitting at home, in my opinion for trucking, drive-in is an entry-level position for trucking. You can take a new driver, put him in that drive-in. If he don't tear the top out of it, you know, that's an entry-level position because you can't screw it up. You can't get it wet in there if the trailer's not leaking. The load's not going to get wet. And they put it in there, most of the time put a strap across it. You can't lose it. You can't – it don't fall off the trailer unless you upset it. It's an entry-level position. They go down the road. Somebody stops in front of them. They slam the brakes on, just lock them up. It don't matter because that stuff ain't going nowhere in that drive-in. You take a flatbed and do that, your day's your number. That's your day right there. You go down the road, somebody stops in front of you, and you have to slam the brakes on a flatbed. I don't care how good you got it secured. If they come to an abrupt stop, somebody's going to die.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest problem, too, with the trucking industry. You're talking about pay. I mean – and most of these companies, even Swift, they had, you know, flatbed divisions, and these flatbed carriers, these flatbed big carriers, what is it called? The Chrome trucks and all those guys.
TMC.
They're not paid. They were paying like maybe a nickel more a mile than a van. I mean, no, a flatbed driver should be making another dollar more.
But now, look now, what when hazmat I was over paying Swift, now.
Right.
When I was over at Swift, it was an extra 15 cents more a mile to pull a flatbed than either the reefer or drive-in.
Yeah,
that ain't nothing.
Well, it's like if jackasses over at Landstar and a lot of these companies, I'll call them jackasses because that's exactly what they are. Any company out here that requires a driver to have hazmat on their license is BS. Because, first of all, if you don't want to haul it or you're not going to haul it, then why in the hell make them go through all the bull BS to get a hazmat on their license? You know,
it
don't make any sense.
Keep it updated every year.
That's not even that. You look at the rates. How much different are the rates from hauling hazmat to hauling general freight?
No,
there ain't that much difference in it. It used to pay more to haul hazmat. Now it's just damn near just pennies on the dollar more than general freight. It don't pay that much more. Look at all the bullshit you got to go through. One little incident happens and where you at? Look at that Landstar that flopped that one over not too long ago. Where was that, Arizona?
Yep.
Or somewhere out there he wrecked that truck and had it. Yeah, look at that. How much did that driver make to haul that load? Look what happened.
He didn't finish the load. He didn't make nothing on it because he passed away in it.
Exactly. I mean, you could do that with anything, but that flammable, hazardous, whatever, you don't know. You know, it's not worth it.
Well, in my opinion, hazmat requirements, that's not a deal. That's not a – that's getting – forcing drivers to get the hazmat endorsement is not so that they have hazmat endorsed drivers. It's to weed out the idiots. If you can't, I mean, that test really isn't that hard to pass. But
it don't work. It don't work.
No, I agree.
Because there's a lot of them out here. Anybody that's on with Landstar right now that's driving for them, pulling their trailer for 60-some%, guess what? It don't work. The idiots, it didn't weed the idiots out. Because they're a bunch of dumbasses for driving for 60-some%.
What do you call at Swift, it was 2004, Swift stopped requiring hazmat. I was in the office at that time, and you know who got it pulled? You know who lobbied to get it pulled so that you wouldn't have to do that? Is the recruiters. The recruiters convinced the safety department or the lawyers or whoever and saying, you know, we don't need to be requiring that because we don't pull hazmat. And then the dispatchers and the driver managers and all those guys were like, yeah, but I mean, if they can't pass that test and they can't go through all that, then we don't need them, because that's just another, you know, they say you're a damn idiot. What the point is that if you don't want to do that, you know, they just call you an idiot. But the problem is that a lot of drivers were saying, I'm not doing it because I'm not getting paid any more for it. So why would I do it? Why should I do it?
If they would give the test like I had to take when I got my written test, took my written test, the driving test, if they would give these guys the test now like I had to take back then, I'm telling you right now, you don't need hazmat to weed out the idiots. You can't be an idiot to take these tests if they're given right. Because air brakes, just your general signs and your maneuverability and everything. Dude, when we took our road test, we had to back through cones. We had to parallel park. We had to do all that shit. You see these guys out here in a truck stop now, they can't back up. If they've got three empty spots, they can't put that damn thing in one empty one, in one of them. They chase that trailer all over this parking lot. How in the hell did they get their damn driver's license? Who give it to them? You can't even blame that on the states. You got to blame that on the truck driving schools and the companies, because they don't give a damn if they can drive or not. Push them through there, get our money, and let them go. To hell with them.
That's what they do.
And that's where it comes down to.
That's what they do. Yeah, they
get our money and go. You know, it's no. That hazmat bullshit. That's ridiculous. That ain't weeding nobody out. You know, it's
right.
Yeah, no. No, there ain't no way for what that shit pays now. There is no way that I'm going to put a flammable or explosive or a hazardous load in a trailer and go down the damn road with it. The way these idiots drive out here anymore, trucks and cars together. I mean, because the trucks out here ain't no different than the cars anymore. They're a bunch of morons, too. They'll cut you off, come up a ramp, run right into the side of you. They don't care. They don't care. It's all it is to them anymore is a paycheck. They don't care who they hurt. They don't care who they wreck, who they take out. They don't care. Me first. All I want is a paycheck at the end of the day or at the end of the week, whichever. And that's all they're looking at, man. They don't care. They don't care about it. It's only me first. Get into a construction site, sit there and watch. Left lane closed 1 mile ahead. You know what lane's moving? The left lane. And you where all the trucks is at? In the left lane.
Yep.
They read. They know that lane's closed. They know that lane's closing up there. But if I can run up there and get as far up as I can, one of them drivers over in that right lane will let me over when they get there. Well, they better hope that I ain't that one driver in that right lane when they get up there, because guess where they're going to be? Sitting right there at the barrels or the sign waiting to get over. I ain't doing it. You seen that sign just like I did.
I do that, and it's not even my truck.
Again, I don't care. I don't care if it's my truck, your truck, God's truck. I don't care. They can read that sign the same as I can.
Exactly. No,
and if
I agree
they
want
to run that lane right to it ends and then want me to let them over, you're wrong. Wrong answer.
Yep. And it's gotten to the point now where you, even if you're going, if you're trying to do the right thing and stay in the right lane and get out of everybody's way because you're only going 65 miles an hour, you know who yells at you? The people coming on the on-ramp. They're getting on the highway, and they don't want to speed up, and then you don't let them in because I can't. Everybody's in the other lanes. I can't get over. You
just
know,
like,
and I'm not,
just like Robbie.
Go ahead.
Like Robbie stated, or like Kelly said, Robbie, I don't know if you see guys seeing on Facebook. Kelly said, oh, when it comes time, you know, moving over and everything because of cars or trucks sitting on the shoulder of the road and on ramps stuff. She said, oh, except for Illinois. Illinois, the cars and trucks out in the travel lanes are expected to move over and let the on-ramp traffic merge in too. Wrong answer. If they want to come up that ramp and they can't see me going by and they want to drive in the side of that truck, I'll have my attorney on speed dial because I'm out there on the highway moving at highway speed. They're coming up that ramp. If they drive into me and I can't get over and it's going to be my fault, no, I don't think so.
Kiss my ass. Yep.
Kiss my ass. Right, Ed. You got it.
It's whatever. You know, it's one of those things where yeah, okay, 50, it might be 50% my responsibility, but guess whose car is going to be in the ditch?
Yeah. You know, when you're putting that car up against this truck, you know, you better ask yourself before you pull that shit, what's your odds of surviving this?
Exactly.
I feel mine's pretty good.
Yep.
I feel mine's pretty good. And now the DOT, I guess, not to get off that subject, but now they're coming out with a new one this summer. Now, they can't do nothing when it's cold. You know, when it's cold, rainy, snow, and blowing, they ain't out checking trucks. I come across 30 tonight, Robbie. They were out there in Upper Sandusky, a DOT in each rest area, eastbound and westbound, and in big rest areas out there on Ohio. Had one in there checking out a truck. Down the road about a mile past the rest area, there was one on my side with a dry van pulled over. DOT and him right alongside the road. Now, this is bullshit because he wasn't a mile past the rest area that DOT stopped him. Why didn't he sit back on the other side of the rest area, grab him and pull him in the rest area, DOT? Why did he let him drive by there and then stop him on the side of the highway where he risked an accident or somebody hitting him just to check the truck?
Yeah.
Well, now this summer, I guess, now they're going to start seatbelt enforcement, targeting trucks and stuff for not wearing your seatbelt. Now they're going to start looking for the fluorescent green and orange seatbelts. And if they don't see your seatbelt, then they can call whatever. They're going to start enforcing seatbelts. All right, well, I'll be getting stopped every day. You know, if that's the case, if they want to start that because my seatbelt's black. You know, I still got old seatbelt. You know, that was before they put the sissy green and orange seatbelts in there. Sorry.
Well,
whatever.
Well, Pete Ramsey, he's got an old, like, 1980 model International, and it don't even have a shoulder strap. Got a lap belt. That's
right.
It.
Right. Got a lap belt. That's right. And that's all he has to have. That's all that's required because that's what that truck was manufactured with.
That's right. Yep. And so he gets pulled in a lot at the scales because they say, well, you can see people on. He goes, that's a lap belt. And they're like, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. That's just a lap belt. And he's like, go look, you know.
Yep.
And
come back and you know, don't even do that. Don't even do that. Tell him what year that truck is, 80-something or whatever. Say, go back in your book right there and try to pull it up. Find out when the seat, when the shoulder harnesses come into effect in the trucks and cars.
Yep.
You know, in the 60s and 70s, I had cars that had a lap belt on them.
Yeah, remember they, I don't know if you guys ever had them. I was working in a car lot. So a lot of those cars had those automatic shoulder straps on the doors. So it was like an automatic. Yeah, and all that. And, you know, so funny is nobody ever wore the lap belt. So the shoulder strap came over the shoulder, and it made it look like you're wearing your seatbelt, but you weren't because it was just there for show, really.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, yeah.
Ford come out with that. And that little, what was that? That little Ford Escort or whatever the hell it was.
Escort. Yep.
Yeah, you get in there, you sit down, and it shut the door, and all of a sudden the damn seatbelt comes running up around the side of the door frame and everything like to damn near chokes you to death before you can dodge it.
Well,
it's like, seriously?
Before we wrap it up, speaking of cars coming out today, I don't know if Robbie, if you saw this in the news, but the Dodge Challenger 2023 just came out with their very last V8 muscle car. So the Dodge 2023 Dodge Challenger SRT Demon 170 got released today, and it's the last V8 muscle car Dodge will ever make. They will not make these big cars anymore. It's 1,025 horsepower, and it's like 900 and something foot-pounds of torque. It's a drag strip car.
My buddy was telling me about that. I haven't seen it, but they're still going to be putting V8s. They're just not going to be producing the high, big, high horsepower Hellcat, Supercharger,
right.
All that other, you know, performance side of it.
This in order to get the performance, this has got to have ethanol. So it's got to have the E85 gasoline, and I guess they're just not going to make those E85s anymore. And
I heard a couple weeks ago where they're doing away with the Dodge Charger, too. They're discontinuing the Dodge Charger. Therefore, the state cops and sheriff departments, everything that's running all them Chargers now, I know in Ohio now, I was talking to Donnie about it, and I said, he talked to a guy. They said that they're doing away with the Chargers. Now they're going to start running that Ford Explorer.
Like everybody's getting
the basic one he got.
Yeah, everybody's
getting
Ford's been around. They have Ford. It all depends on what state you're in. You know, some of them will have a Charger, some of them will have the Explorer, but I think
Ford has its own, like, law enforcement division where they make nothing but law enforcement vehicles.
For years.
Exactly. And then Explorer now, the reason why they're going to Explorers, it's because of the all-wheel drive. So all the Explorers that you can get, it's either front-wheel drive or all-wheel drive. So all of the interceptors that they're making, you know, that's what Ford calls their police car, is an interceptor. And
right.
And all the ones that come off the line that are interceptor Explorers are all-wheel drive. So
they had them back in the late 90s, early 2000s. They had them POS Ford Crown Vics. They had them, I believe, if you go back and check. I think they was all-wheel drive.
They weren't. I don't know. I don't think so.
That was a sedan.
Well, back even in the 80s,
all-wheel drive.
Highway patrols had the Mustang.
Yeah.
And it was the computer programming on it was a little bit different than, you know, your everyday car. Even on the Crown Vics, the computer programming in it is a little bit different, and everything's different on them. But you could buy the retired police vehicles. Yeah, they take all the lights out and everything, but you can still
insurance
buy them.
Insurance companies and everything's bitching about us. And the cost of insurance, you know, the insurance is through the roof, you know, and you can't get cheap insurance because car insurance is so ridiculous price now, you can't afford it. Why is that? When the hell does a car have to run 140, 160, 180 mile an hour out here on the highway? Why? Why does a car have to run that fast when you can't run it that fast out here? Legally, so what good is it? And they're putting cars out here now that's outrunning the damn cruisers. That's why they're doing get away with a lot of, or rid of a lot of them, because they've got cars out here now coming right off the line, the production line, that's outrunning the cruisers. They can't catch
them. Them Teslas can do 200 miles an hour.
Why?
Them suckers.
Why do they need to run 200 mile an hour out here?
Well,
the highest
speed
limit out here now in this country is what, 80, 85?
Yeah, I mean, there's some places.
Governors on them just like they do on us.
Yeah,
they
that's
governors
what
on these trucks.
That'll probably come down the pipe, but that's what people want, man. You know,
we want fast trucks out here too, but we got to make them.
Yep. Well,
cars, let them build one. Let them make one.
If you go to Harley Davidson and you order a motorcycle that has the big engine, the one I got, guess what? The computer chips that Harley makes for all those, it's still everything's restricted to 120 miles an hour. The bike still won't go more. So most of those cars, they all shut off. They all shut off at a certain. My truck won't go over 100. Because once you and it'll shut off. It'll conk out. It won't go that much faster.
Yeah. The rev limiter. You get up against the rev limiter, it just shuts everything off. Computer just shuts it down. It drops down.
My pickup goes to 107.
Yep.
And it's a 99. You got the wrong truck there, Ed.
If that's only crazy, does, Robbie,
it
because my Dodge.
I got another 7 mile an hour than you. Peace out.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. That's what they're doing.
That Dodge dually of mine. That Dodge pickup of mine, that dually, with that Cummins, that son of a bitch will run everything on the speedometer plus. Now, why is that?
Well, you
got
like
120 on the speedometer, huh?
No, didn't you put the fire on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I could take that bully dog off. It went from the day when I got that truck, and that's an 04. But day one I got that truck, that thing would run everything. It was, I know, I found out one day up PA just acting a fool, going up to my sister's. But, yeah, because I caught hell for 2 days later.
Yeah, I mean, the line, somebody probably, you know, took the limiters off of it, the restrictors, you know, and all that.
I don't know.
As soon as the warranty's
that
up, damn, that's what you do.
That Avalon that we got has got 140, I think. It's 140 mile an hour speedometer in it, and I know it'll run 130. I left off on it at 130 because I got scared.
But
at
you know
130,
that's
I let off on it.
If you go check the history, you know, back before cars got real, real fast and guns got real, real powerful, you know, cops out there were running around either on horseback or on those little tiny little Model Ts, and all they had were the little six shooters. And then what happened, it was in the 80s. It was like in 1981 or something. The FBI got into a shootout with a bank robber in Miami, Florida, and the bank robbers, they all had Glocks that had 15 rounds in each magazine. And all the FBIs were out there with six shooters, and they just got outgunned. And then from that day forward, the standard issue for FBI, and now most cops, police stations out there, everybody's got the pistol 15 shooters, you know, whatever they got. But I mean, they were just issuing six shooters to everybody.
Well, they better step it up.
And that's the thing.
Shit's getting ready to break out again, and they ain't going to have big enough shit again if they ain't careful.
If you ever watch that movie Public Enemy, and that was when John Dillinger, Chicago, and they were getting outrun. The cops were saying, we can't keep up with their cars. All their cars are these, like, hot rod Lincolns that we can't keep up with. And they had the cops had to come out and buy the souped-up cars because the standard issue for a police car was just a regular old Ford, and it wasn't doing nothing, you know? So,
right.
Yeah,
well,
I mean,
well, look what they, look what it was with the guys running Shine. That's how I'm asking. I said they could, cops couldn't catch him. Them guys running Moonshine, and they couldn't catch him cars.
Exactly right. Yep, that's right. That's what it was, you know. And so that's what it is. You know, everybody talks about now how the police are just so militarized. And it's like, well, you know, we caused that because when the technology's there, somebody's going to take advantage of it and use it to their benefits. You know.
Guns is one thing. Guns was one thing, Ed. But when they're coming out with these military vehicles and everything, and they're coming in,
they're coming in hot with all this shit.
They don't need all that bullshit. That armored personnel carriers and stuff, they don't need that bullshit. They don't need that.
Yep.
You know, that's what gives them the bad name. You know, them running around in police carriers, you know, them armored police or armored military carriers, that all that's doing. You remember when these trucks was running around with the bug screens on them, it looked like big teeth?
Everybody
started talking about, it was terrifying people because you come up behind them in the car, they'd look in their mirror and all they seen was this big grill had these teeth sticking out. And they actually tried to outlaw them and tried to make guys take them off in front of the truck because it was intimidating. It was scaring people, you know. Well, it's the same thing with them, you know, with the police. You know, when they come driving up in there, they've already got an issue with this guy. He's already pissed off. He's a psychopath anyhow. Then they come in there with that, all that's going to do is make him get even worse, and now he's going to try to prove a point. Now you're causing a shootout.
Yeah, used to when you saw a police officer do a traffic stop, he was wearing a uniform, you know, nice pants, nice shoes,
right,
a hat. And now whenever you see a cop get out of a car, and this is his day in, day out. I mean, he's every single day, he looks like he's going to war. He's got tactical
beanie
pants.
Well, yeah, how the hell do they run like that?
Yeah, with all
the
shit on their
belt. They got that.
Yeah,
that tack vest and the tack belt and the handcuffs and billy clubs and pistols and magazines and flashlights and, you know, extra condoms or whatever the fuck they're going to need for the day. They got all this shit strapped to them. And then right in the middle of their chest, now all this shit works until you get to the body cam right in the middle of their chest. And every time some shit goes bad, it ain't ever working. Well, the body cam wasn't on. No, it wasn't on. I don't think right there is where I think they need to draw the line. You know, when they're out of that car, that son of a bitch should be set just like these trucks, the cameras in these trucks, you know, the computers in these trucks. When they're in there, when they pick that body cam up in the morning from the station or wherever they get it, it automatically turns on. As soon as they get it, they have no control of it. They can't turn it off. They can't turn it on. It's automatically on all the time from the time they pick it up until they drop it back off at the end of their shift. If you got to go in somewhere and take a piss or take a shit, all right, either put something over top of it or leave it in the car until you come back out. But they should not be able to walk around out in public with that camera on, be able to have the ability to turn it off and on. You ain't got the ability to do that with that e-log. That e-log does everything you do all day long. It records it. How can they have that camera and that truck the same way? It records everything in a loop all day long. You can't turn that off or on, so why should they be able to turn them body cameras off and on as they want? They stop you. You piss them off. They shut the body cam off. They beat the shit out of you, turn the body cam on. Now you're fighting back with him. They turn it back on. See, he's resisting. That's why we did what we did. Wait a minute. What led up to that causing him to start fighting back? Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. But you ain't got the body cam to prove the whole stop. What happened? What led up to this point?
Exactly.
That's where they need to draw the line with them, and they wonder why the cops is, you know, scrutinized like they are. It's bullshit. You know, they ask for it. They get exactly what they ask for. You want to act like an idiot, you're going to get treated like one. And that's the problem right now. That's why people have no respect for law enforcement now. They see law enforcement carrying on like that and say, well, what the hell? They can get away with it. Why can't we? Lead by example.
There you go.
Just going down the road, cop pass you, you know, 100 mile an hour with no lights on, just boom, gone. Go down the road a mile, pull in the median strip, and then park and sit there. Now, what was the reason for him driving 100 mile an hour just so he could pull into the median strip and shoot radar? You know?
Well, what gives him the right
to kick his lights on, drive through a damn red light, and then turn his lights off so he can go to the donut shop?
That's what they do here is they're getting down the road and there's no traffic around and everybody stopped at a red light and they just happen to have a little opening and they'll just turn their lights on, go through the red light, and turn them right back off.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
And then I called in on them one time doing that. I forgot where I was at, but I called the local police department and said, hey,
I did.
You got guys red light here. Well, what they told me was we'll have to transfer you over to internal affairs, you know, and all this.
Yeah.
And it's not, you can't just say, you know, they did it and that's, oh, we're sorry, we'll do something. No, they were very, very like combative. They were saying, you know, nah, we got to fill out a whole report and you got to come down here to the station and, you know, do all this stuff and all that. And I'm like, what?
Yep. Called him one time. He did that, turned his lights on, went through the red light. And I'm thinking, really? And I watched him go down. It was a down. He went down. He pulled into McDonald's parking lot, went around, went through the drive-thru. I said, really? I got his car number. And I called in. You know what they tell me? Well, he got a call. I said, what? Was McDonald's being robbed? And they said, what do you mean? I said, he pulled into McDonald's, went around and cut through the drive-thru. I said, so was McDonald's being robbed that he had to go and save the girl working at the drive-thru at McDonald's? Because that's where he was sitting at. And they didn't have nothing else to say. Well, you know, we'll have to, I'll see if I can get a hold of the officer. I'll find out what the problem was. But I think he was on a call. No, he wasn't on no call. Yeah,
no,
he just didn't want to sit there at that red light.
He got a call.
Yeah,
and he
the
got
lights
a call.
Are at a flip of a switch. He flipped the switch. I'm not waiting here.
Yeah,
right.
That's what he got a call. He got a call from his girlfriend, and the girlfriend called and said, my husband just left. So
yeah.
He's like on his way over.
Freaking assholes. But that's exactly why the cops, that's why people have the attitude with the cops that they got. That's why there's no respect for them anymore. Same way with us. These guys out here, the way they act, the way they drive and conduct themselves out here on the highway is exactly why these cars and stuff carry on the way they do around us. Because you piss one of them off, then they're going to get even, and it's road rage. But the drivers do it. They do it to themselves. They do it to each other out here. So you know that a car, we know what they're doing. You know, a car, when you do that to a car, it pisses them off. Well, they're smaller than we are, so, yeah, they can cut in front of you, slam the brakes on. They know that you're going to hit the brakes, keep from hitting them. Well, now you're either going to hit them or you're going to jackknife or you're going to run off the road, you're going to wreck. They got even with you. Well, it don't work for me because I will hit them in the ass. I've done it before. I will do it again. You brake check me, you done signed your warrant because I'm taking you with me. Because I learned a long time ago, if I'm going to go down in that media strip and wreck his truck, I'm taking that asshole with me because when the law gets there, he's going to be there. He's going to explain why we're both down in there. Because
yeah, exactly.
If he does that and you crash in the middle, when the cop gets there, you failed to keep, you failed to maintain control. You're getting a ticket. You're paying the tow bill. You're getting cited with the points and everything. And that guy got the last laugh. Because as soon as you went in there, he hauled ass and took off. Nobody seen him. Take him with you. I had an old car driver tell me that if you're going in there, take whoever was with you, take them with you when you go in there. So they'll be there when the report's made out, he'll be there with you. It don't always work that way, but
well,
you can do it. That's what you do.
If you're running cameras in your truck and you got cameras and you can actually really see it.
Back then we didn't have cameras. Now these trucks got cameras in them.
Now you could have cameras in the truck and you're rolling down the road, car comes around the right side and slams on the brakes, and you end up both in the median and sit there and park. Well, I got proof. You want the
video, but you can have it right on video though, and they'll still try to hang you with it. You can have the video of it, they'll still try to hang you for it.
That's it.
Insurance companies and attorneys are what's running the country right now.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Insurance
totally agree with that.
Companies and attorneys. And DAs.
Brokers.
Dumbass attorneys. DAs, district attorneys. They're one and the same. Just look what they're
and
doing
brokers.
Up here in New York right now. That's a crock of shit. Oh, hell with the brokers. They've always been assholes, and they'll continue to be. Yeah, don't ever do anything with the brokers because, like I said, you know, until FMCSA wants to keep putting rules and regulations on us, they need to start putting some of them out there and put some oversight on them brokers. Start going into their offices, their houses, start pulling their books and their paperwork, start checking their stuff like they do us, and find out how much you're back charging on these damn, how much you're cutting these rates, and how much money they're pocketing. And how many times that load's been brokered, which law is you can't double broker. Well, they are. They're double, they're triple, and they're quadruple brokering this shit. But nobody's out there. There's no oversight on them. You know, nobody walks into their office and says, hey, we're going to do an audit on you. We want to see if you're on the up and up, see if you're doing everything legal. Well, they do it to us. Why won't they do it to them? You know, you step out of line, you know, they audit you. They'll send you an audit, say, hey, we're coming in, checking paperwork. We want to see this, and get everything in order. We'll be here on a certain day. Huh. And when they come, you better have your ducks in a row. Well, so I got told Tip. I said, they may audit us. But when they come to audit us, if they come in there and I see a pistol on them side, or they get out of that car with an attitude, guess where they're going to be doing my audit at? Right outside the driveway. I'm going to take a little card table and I'm going to set it up out there in the middle of the driveway. I'm going to give them a folding chair. I'm going to take the box of shit out there and throw it on the table and say, there you go. I don't care. I may put a little pop-up tent over them if it's raining. Other than that, they can sit right there and do their audit out in the driveway. It says that they can come in and audit my bookwork, but it don't say that I have to let them come into my home and do it. That's my home, not theirs. That's not my place of business. My business is here in this truck. The paperwork, yeah, if they want to do it, then they can do it. I'm not allowed to write that. I'm not allowed to write all that office off every year 100%. So 100% of it, so which corner you want to set in, because that's all you're getting. That's bullshit. You know, you said you got to audit it. If you get an audit, they get to check the paperwork, but it don't mean you got to let them come in there and sit out at your dining room table and do it. Sue me, asshole. All right, Ed, you got to go to work.
Yep. All right, now.
Good
deal.
All right. Talk to y'all later on.
Yep.
All right. Have a good night, guys.
Yep, good deal. Appreciate everybody listening tonight. Hey, we're going to lock it out here. I'll see you guys Thursday. It'll be then Friday, and that's it. And we'll keep tabs on it. Go check out our YouTube channel. That's where everything's going to be happening at, I think. You know, we got everything going on with the YouTube channel where you can do a lot of videos on there that we've done in the past. So check it out. Go search it out over there on the YouTube channel, Redneck and Eyes. And I appreciate everybody. Y'all stay safe, stay successful, keep between the ditches, and we'll see you out there on the road.
Took her home to my place, watching every move on her face. She said, look, what's your game? Are you trying to put me in shame? Out there slow, don't go so fast. Do you think that love can last? She said, look, Lord above. Now you're trying to trip me in love. And it's all right now, baby, it's all right.
Probably be very nice.
Yeah, I've got a feeling well.